See, I don't think we should applaud that by any means. Like, that was fun, but oh, I wanted to throw up in my mouth a little bit. But I think there's no better representation of what social media can be like than that song. I mean, it has this focus on us, right? And actually, hold on, before we do that, I gotta check in on Facebook for a second. Hold on. Gotta make sure that people know that I'm here. All right, at Good Shepherd Neighborville. About to give the best sermon ever. Jesus would be impressed. Excellent. All right, excellent. Got that on there? All right, here we go. Cool. So tonight we're talking about social media and the good life according to social media. Actually, hold on, I gotta tweet that too. So I gotta tweet out. No, Carly, I am worshiping at Good Shepherd. Hashtag more blessed. All right, excellent. So we're going to tweet that out. Excellent. All right, so good life according to social media. Hold on. If it's not on Instagram, it didn't happen. So we got to, here we go. Hold on. We're going to take care of that here. We'll get some of you in on this. So excellent. So we'll make sure that gets on Instagram and we'll be all set. All right, so the good life according to social media. No, one second. I got to update my LinkedIn profile with expert preaching. Hold on. I got to list that as a skill. Expert preaching. All right. There we go. No. All right. So you see, this is how obsessed as a culture that we are with social media. It can overtake so much of what we do. So that's what I want to talk about today. If we haven't met before, my name is Ryan Shibley. I work here at Good Shepherd as the Director of Family Life for Student Ministries. And that's unnecessary. But a little special shout out to some of our students are in service with us this morning. So hey, to you guys, and hope to see you back tonight for Fuel and Ignite. But as we talk about this topic, it's actually a thing that matters a lot to me, because social media not only plays a large part in the lives of our students that we work with, but it's a large part of what we do as a student ministry and even as a church. What I don't want to do is stand up here for the next few minutes and just rag on social media, because there's some good things that come with it, but there's also some harm that is done through it. After all, that's what we're looking at with these series. We're looking at these sort of cultural landmarks and seeing how, on the surface, they're not bad things, but when they become the center point, when they become the focus of our lives, harmful things come from it. Social media in and of itself is not bad, but it leads to some harmful things. There's no denying the cultural impact of social media. Social media has influence. Everyday parts of our language now have risen out of social media. We've all heard phrases like fake news, Me Too, Black Lives Matter. These phrases grew out of social media and have kind of taken over every part of our language and of our culture. There is a global reach to social media. We are more connected than ever before, and that's a good thing. Information can be shared around the globe unlike ever before. We can stay connected with friends and family in ways that we could never before. It's a wonderful resource, but it also comes with some danger and some harm as well. I mean, roughly 77% of Americans have at least one social media platform that they are active on. Statistically speaking, about 68% of the adults in this room have a Facebook profile. Now, that number drops significantly with younger demographics who prefer other social media sites such as Snapchat or Instagram. But we're active. It's a part of what we do. I mean, we could even look at the recent events in New Zealand and see how social media played a part in that. The fact that an event happening on the other side of the world, the fact that we found out about that so quickly, is due in part to social media and the spread of information. The outpouring of support that has come after that through social media. But yet the very ideology that led to acts of violence like that is spread through social media. And even the violent acts themselves were broadcast live on social media while they were happening. There's good and there's bad that comes with this. With the connections and the sharing of information has also come wider divisions, has become greater conflict, shallower relationships, poor self-image, and a loss of productivity in the rest of our lives. Now, often, when we talk about social media, the attention tends to go to Facebook. And we saw a commercial from Facebook highlighting what's great about their company and what may have gone wrong, and their kind of commitment to making it better. Because Facebook still has statistically the highest number of users. But if you're part of a certain generation, you know that social media didn't really start with Facebook. Now, social media came to arise when the internet took a shift in the early 2000s with a man named Tom and a little website called MySpace. The three of you, little giggles, you understand, you remember MySpace. MySpace changed a lot of things because MySpace suddenly gave you as an individual the ability to have your platform, your place to share your thoughts. You know, one of the beautiful things about social media is that everybody has a voice. One of the downfalls of social media is that everybody has a voice. But MySpace became this place where you could share information, you could connect with friends, you would give anything to be in somebody's top eight of their friends on MySpace. In fact, if you remember MySpace fondly, you probably also have good memories of this sound. Some of you of a younger age are really confused right now. But others of us know that this is the sound of freedom. This is the sound of the internet. Because you see, there was a time when we didn't carry the internet in our pocket. And this was the sound that told you you were about to connect with the world. Because you were on your computer and you were going to connect. There may be the new social media, but you were going to connect to the world through the internet. You also were hoping and praying and begging your parents not to pick up the phone line. Which, as a side note for the younger ones, there was a time when phones were connected to the wall and that you used that for the internet. It was a confusing time for all of us. I'll explain it later. All right. But social media rose out of for the last couple decades and has taken over to become every part of our lives. It's filled in everywhere. I even had my daughter, who's 7 years old, was looking at my phone recently when I was doing some things and asked me why there's a hashtag button on it. And then I realized, that's called a pound sign. And I realized, we just refer to that as a hashtag from now on, right? It's taken over every part of who we are. And that's why I think that the song we started with is so fitting, because if social media is based on anything, it's based on the idea of, look at how awesome I am. Look at how great my life is. We only put our best things out in social media. It becomes this platform that, yes, we can connect, but I don't know if it's really offering the good life that it promises. But before we talk any further about that, why don't we pray together and seek after God? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just ask your Holy Spirit to be with us. God, help us to be close to you in these moments. Help us to hear from you in your word. God, help us to set aside the distractions of our life right now and just to focus on you. God, teach us what you want us to learn today. Help us to be focused on you. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. I think ultimately, while we could focus on so many things with social media, about those wider divisions, about those shallower relationships, that loss of productivity. One of the big things that I've seen rise out of social media is a problem of envy. That we start to compare our lives to others. We start trying to live up to a standard that other people set for us or that we believe that other people have set for us. In the Old Testament, in the book of Proverbs, this great collection of words of wisdom, it even says this: a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. Scripture tells us that this idea of envy hurts us from the inside out, that our very souls, our emotions, our hearts, and our minds get destroyed when we get caught up in envy, when we get caught up in this game of comparison. So if this whole idea, though, is the good life according to social media, what is the good life that social media is offering? Well, this good life according to social media is that everything is a competition. Fight for attention. Look good, sound good, make sure you're articulate. Hey, even be a little controversial. Fight for attention. And with that, prove your value. Social media says that your value is found in likes, friends, followers, retweets, snap streaks, mentions, and more. Do whatever it takes. Your value is found in the kind of attention that you get on social media. But also that everyone is watching, so never show weakness. Social media says you only want to put your best stuff out there because that's the stuff that gets you attention. You only want to make sure you look good, sound good, you know, that everyone perceives just how awesome your life is. You want people to look at your social media profile and want to be you. That's the center of what social media says. But I don't know about you, but that is exhausting. And yes, there's a lot of fun and a lot of connections that can come through social media. But having to chase after those three things over and over and over again is exhausting. And there's so many platforms and so many things to keep up with. I was doing research for this message, and I found an article that said the 65 social media apps you need to know about in 2019. 65 of them. And it wasn't, here are the 65 social media apps that exist. This was just the most important 65 of them. I was exhausted just trying to keep up with all of it. But over and over again, there's almost this rotating door of a new app, a new platform, a new website that offers you these same things. It says we're just going to repackage it, but it's all about competition, earning your value and never showing weakness, only putting the best version of yourself out there. But when we do that, we all get caught in this vicious cycle. So we're competing for attention, so we put our best stuff out there trying to earn our value, but then we see what somebody else puts out there, so we have to match that or exceed that, and then it's just this ongoing cycle of competition, trying to earn value, only putting what's out there that is our best. We don't show the moments of our lives when we fail or fall flat on our face. We show those moments when we look really good, when we're really happy about what happened, when we're really proud of our really awesome orange sneakers that we wore at church that day. Right? I figured it's World Vision Sunday, so I should rock my World Vision orange sneakers. Side note with that, I do hope you will prayerfully consider the call you were given to run the marathon. I think getting clean water to kids in Africa is really important. And I need running mates, so if you want to run with me. So I need you to run so that Tom and I have people to run with for sure. So you want to fill out the form, you want to stay for the meeting later. I'm just going to tell you that. So my form's filled out. Maybe you'll fill one out too. So back to what we were talking about. So if this is the good life according to social media, that can't really be the good life, because that doesn't sound that great, and it's exhausting after a while. So maybe Jesus offers something different. In the Gospels, Jesus taught in a variety of different ways. Sometimes he got up and he gave sermons. Sometimes he taught by asking questions to people and engaging in conversations. Sometimes he taught by performing miracles that would not only do something amazing, but teach something amazing about God. But other times, he would sit back and tell stories. He would tell parables that would teach a wider lesson about God. And one of those parables can be found in the Gospel of Luke, in Luke chapter 15. And it's often referred to as the parable of the prodigal son. And it's a beautiful story that if you've never read before, I encourage you to do so. You can write down these verses that are on the screen right now, and I encourage you to go back and read it. And it's a beautiful story about a young man who turns his back on his family and devotes his life for a while to just wild living. And it leads him down a path of destruction. Thankfully, he comes to his senses and he returns home, and there's a beautiful moment of reconciliation between the son and his father, this character in the story meant to represent God. And it's a beautiful story about God's grace and God's forgiveness, even in the midst of our deepest, darkest times. But there's another part of that story as well, because there's another brother in this story as well. And I want to look at his story for a little bit this morning. So listen together as we hear kind of the other half of this prodigal son story. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours has squandered your property, when he comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him?" "My son," the father said, "you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." I think if Jesus were to tell this story today, he would tell a very similar story. Except I don't think the older brother would have this argument face to face with his father. I think he would just take it out on social media. I think there'd be a lot of series of like different tweets or posts on social media. It'd be like, my younger brother finally came home after, you know, all of his failure, and dad's throwing him a giant party, hashtag lame, you know, or he's going to go and he's just going to have a series of posts of just all of the accomplishments of what he's been doing over all this time that his father's gone and all of the great things that he's done. I mean, look at the things he said, like, "Father, don't you realize how hard I've been working, and I have never messed up once in all this time." I mean, this older brother is the epitome of social media culture. "Look at how great I am. If I were you, I'd want to be me too." Right? This is his position this whole time. But then something amazing happens. The same father figure, this God figure in the story, turns and says something to the older brother. He says, "Son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours." The good life according to Jesus is a direct contrast to the good life according to social media. "My son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours." It says, "my son," or in case you might say, "my daughter." Jesus says there is no competition. You are already a son or daughter of God. That's not something you have to earn. You don't need to fight for that. It's just a gift that is given to you. Jesus says that your value doesn't come from your accomplishments. It comes from God. "You are always with me," God says, "in the good and the bad. In the times that you have it all together and the times you fall flat on your face and you mess up. You are always with me. In the times that you are celebrating and the times that you are weeping, you are always with me." You don't have to earn your value at all. And Jesus says, everything you will already need is already taken care of because of God. God says, "Everything I have is yours." All that God has, all that God is, his love, his power, his grace, his forgiveness, his ability to heal, everything that is God is available to you and I every minute of the day. No matter how great we are, no matter how awesome our life may be, no matter how hard we work to make ourselves look good on social media, God promises us that he is always with us, and everything we have can come from him. Everything that God has is available to us. "My son, my daughter, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours." So what comes next for us? You know, the Proverbs tell us that we need peace as the source of that healing, that because envy rots our bones. Maybe we need peace. Maybe we need peace of mind. Maybe you need to delete a social media app or two or 65, and you need to step away from it for a little while because it's not working for you. Maybe you need to remove that distraction for a little while to focus on relationships that are right around you in that moment. Maybe you need to just slow down and allow the words of God to seep into your heart, into your mind, and into your soul. That says you don't have to keep trying. You don't have to meet some standard that somebody else has set for you. that you are already a child of God. You are chosen, not forsaken. You are who he says that you are. It has nothing to do with your status, your online presence, or how great you have to make yourself look to others. You are loved by God. That is good life. That's not the good life offered to us by social media, but that's the better life offered to us from Jesus. It's my hope, it's my prayer that you will trust in that good life today. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you love all of us. I thank you that you call each and every one of us a son or a daughter. God, I thank you that you are always with us and everything we need is available from you. God, everything you are, everything you have, everything you can do is available to us. God, help us to trust that. Help us to not find our value in what others say about us, what culture says we need to be or to do. Help us not get caught up in the controversy, in the divisions, in the shallow relationships that can come from social media. But God, to just be reminded that we are always with you. And that is all that we will ever need. And that truly is good life. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.